First message, we have our local deacon, Mr. Roy Jackson.
I'll grow up someday. Thank you, Mr. Sandy. Well, brethren, it's been a little while since I spoke to you. Well, thinking of last evening, it was almost over, the days of unleavened bread. But if we really want to get technical about it, we could have continued that into today. Because seeing as you can't buy and sell on the Sabbath, where do we get our unleavened bread today? But everybody does it. It's a mood thing. But you know what? We're here together to enjoy God's Sabbath that He created for us. And just a few hours ago, it was over, and we could eat real bread again. How many like real bread? I think we all like real bread, right? Well, along with that real bread comes the opportunity to have leaven. And leaven represents sin. How do we let that back in our life? Last Friday, or a week ago Friday, we had our feet washed. We washed somebody else's feet. We drank a little wine and we ate a little piece of the dry bread, unleavened bread. Commemorating the Passover. Excuse me, I got allergies. So. We cleaned out our toasters, our vacuum cleaners, our carpets, our car, dusted out the cupboards and the drawers, and swept the garage. All week long, we prayed. We searched for what we think needs to be changed. Now, that was pretty easy, wasn't it? But is this all there is? That's the message title. Is this all there is? Well, not so fast. That's not all it is. I do remember a dear friend years ago, she's since passed away. She was so overwhelmed by delivering her home that she made her physically ill. That aspect of trying to find everything. But the leaven of sin doesn't just go away. We're right back into the world again. And that leaven of sin is going to be out there looking for you. We look for it to get rid of it, but it's looking for you. It's something that we must face boldly every day to search it out. As the ancient Israelites, after Passover and then went into unleavened bread, they went into their wilderness looking for that promised land. We're into our wilderness looking for the kingdom of God. And every day we have to keep looking and fighting for it. Well, many times, if we're not careful, we can get in the attitude that this is all there was to it. And then we're good again until this time next year. Then we'll do it all over again. That's sort of boring, isn't it? If this were the case, what should we do the rest of the year until Passover comes again next year? Just sit here and wait for it to come along and do it again? It's a constant struggle with sin. That's why we're here, to learn, to overcome, become like God. Our first understanding of unleavened bread is from the history of ancient Israelites coming out of captivity in the bondage from Egypt by instructions from God to Moses. You may ask yourself, why am I giving this message today? We're a continuation. We continually overcome and grow. Our first understanding was the ancient Israelites coming out of captivity and bondage from Egypt by instructions from God to Moses. These days were called in the Old Testament, Leviticus 23:6, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in the New Testament, it's known in Acts 12:3, the Days of Unleavened Bread. When Jesus came to earth as a human, he observed this 7-day festival, sometimes called the Feast of Passover by the Jews because of the proximity to the Passover of the Days of Unleavened Bread. Jesus kept these as a child and later as an adult. Luke 2:41. Bear with me a little bit. Seeing as my Bible's laying on the table at home, Mr. Sandings was gracious enough to let me borrow his. 241. It's Luke 241. His parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover, so he was with them. Then again in Matthew 26:17, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" So he was also, being observed in the New Testament. God instructed the ancient Israelites, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leaven from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly," which we did 7 days ago, 8 days ago, our last Sabbath. "And another one on the seventh day," which was yesterday. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. Is all you shall do." And that's found in Exodus 12, 14 through 16. Each year, the Israelites observed this feast and it reminded them of God's deliverance from the forefathers from Egypt. The Creator instructed, "Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions or your armies out of Egypt." That's verse 17, NIV. The Exodus from Egypt remains a foundational reason for observing the feast today. Just as God delivered ancient Israel, he delivered us from our sins and difficulties. A quote I've made here are from the UCG booklet, God's Holy Days Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind. Now notice Jesus Christ's teaching in the New Testament about leaven, which explains the meaning of this feast. During Christ's ministry, he performed two miracles in which a few fish and loaves of bread fed thousands of people. After one of these incidents, when his disciples had gone around the Sea of Galilee, they forgot to bring bread. I don't know how they did that, but they forgot it. So Jesus told them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Of course, the disciples didn't understand what he was saying. They thought he was just referring to bread. However, he is using this occasion to teach them by calling on the symbolism of leaven. Christ asked them, "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then the disciples, the light came on, understood that he did not say, "Beware of the leaven of bread," but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is Matthew 16, 5 through 12. I won't turn there, but I just read that. Some of the members of the religious establishment in Christ's day appeared to be righteous, yet they secretly practiced sinful behavior. Jesus let them know that he knew their hearts. They may have appeared to be righteous to others, But inside, they were full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. It's like cleaning the cup on the outside. The inside is filthy. We have to clean up the inside. The days of unleavened bread reminded us that with God's help, we can remove and avoid all types of sin, symbolized by leaven, in all our areas of our life. Later, Paul in 1 Corinthians taught the same spiritual lessons to the Corinthian congregation, reprimanding them for the divisions, the jealousies, and the tolerance of sexual misconduct. Paul wrote, let's go turn to 1 Corinthians 5. It's 5 through 8. I've got lost here. He taught the same spiritual lessons here. I'm just going to read out of my notes here. To the Corinthian congregation, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Even though the Corinthians were undoubtedly keeping the feast of unleavened bread, Paul is using this occasion to give them proper spiritual intent. Even today, by removing leaven from our homes for 7 days, we're reminded for the need of our prayer, through prayer and God's help and understanding. We must recognize and get rid of and avoid sin. We need to do this all year long, not just during the 7 days of unleavened bread. We need to meditate on our attitudes and our conduct and ask God to help us recognize and overcome our shortcomings. Remember the world we live in. How do we act to it? How do we react? So it says, what's in your wallet? Your TV shows, your movies, your activities, what we read. What kind of leaven are we allowing in our minds? And as soon as the days of unleavened bread are gone, we're right back in the world again. As we are every morning when we wake up, right back in this world. Sin, or leaven, is like the seeds of a dandelion. Pretty flowers, aren't they? Off in somebody else's yard. The flower is pretty to look at a distance. But you don't want them all over your yard. You must continually remove them in order to keep more from growing. Like a run-down old neighborhood where nobody cares, someone who moves in and keeps an immaculate home and yard will, for the most part, not change that neighborhood. Whereas someone who doesn't care can move in a neighborhood of nice, manicured, well-kept yards and homes, and before long, others start following suit. I've lived in those places. Because of an attitude of, why should I care? Because no matter what I do, it won't make any difference. So therefore, in a matter of time, that might be years, that might be a few months, they park their cars on the lawn, let the weeds grow, and it becomes like the one when nobody cared, except for the one. Let's be that one and not allow the leaven to take us over. We can't allow that to happen. These 7 days of examination proved invaluable to helping us to devote our lives to God and Jesus Christ. This week-long period also showed an eventual triumph over sin. As God delivered the ancient Israelites from enslavement to Egypt, so he delivers us from enslavement to sin. It's Romans 6, 12 to 18. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that from whom you present your bodies slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you do obey? Therefore, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God, be thanked that you thought that you, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become the slaves of righteousness. And still it's not over, brethren. Paul said years later in Romans 7, let's just turn over there. It's 21 and 20 to 25. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. Our observance of the days of unleavened bread helps us to realize our need for Jesus Christ to help us in overcoming our weaknesses. Yet it's a time to rejoice in knowing Christ freely gives us the help we need. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins, thus unleavening or cleansing our lives, helping us live obediently through God's Spirit dwelling in us. Yes, the past 7 days of the days of unleavened bread was a time for reflection. It's still a time for reflection. Examination to help us to become more like our older brother and Savior Jesus Christ. Just maybe we need a little extra help this year. Because you see, even though the days of unleavened bread are over at sunset, and we can eat real bread, I hope we didn't throw out all that unleavened bread. We can reflect on that when we can eat it as well. But may God bless you and search you as you call upon him to show you and me our sins and cleanse us from all our iniquities so we can become more like him. And we can look back next year, as we look back this year. Sometimes we don't feel like we've really accomplished much in the year, but we look back the beginning of this year and how much have we grown. Look back 5 years ago, how much we've changed. Or look back from when we were baptized. We change so slowly, but certainly so we become more like him. But remember, it's not over until it's over. And we've just begun. Keep searching and purging and walking through that wilderness to the kingdom of God.